than 1967 and 1968. It was then that Ms. Nastier and I took our, both of us took leave of absence. She from the school system and I from the college or the university. And we wanted to take her sisters, two of her sisters, with us on a trip for their first time out of the country. We went first to spend our holidays and a month in Israel, which had just concluded its six-day war in 1967. And after that, we traveled in Italy for a week and into Holland and wound up in England, where I began my first studies on this particular trip, because the two sisters that accompanied us, these are sisters of Mrs. Nastier, that accompanied us, we put on the plane and sent them back to San Francisco. Mrs. Nastier and I, after a short time in England, went and spent the rest of the year in Spain. But this was the time that I stayed and worked for more than a week in the public record office, trying to fill in the blanks, a few blank spots in my calendar of the California materials in the British archives. Which it was very good that I did to fill in a few of the spots that I had spotted in trying to bring notes together. But I had not really, I just began the real organization of that volume, which is still in process. In Spain, I checked over a number of things, but chiefly I devoted my time, which we divided half and half, approximately half in Madrid and half in Seville, trying to build up and check over a few items that I wanted to check over for the work I was doing in the Mississippi Valley. At that time, I was working on a continuation of the On the Vial volume, as a matter of fact, and I tried to get a few items that I had not found in my several years before. But I spent most, that was in Seville, but I spent most of our time in Madrid in a new situation. The archives had been reorganized, had been transferred out of the Biblioteca Nacional in Madrid to a separate building with good facilities. And there I wanted to gather up a few documents on one or two specific items, chiefly having in mind students for higher degree theses. The chief one that I ended up with was the residencias, R-E-S-I-D-E-N-C-I-A-S, of the governors of Louisiana. And this I did by having photostats made, or microphotostats made of certain printed materials and microfilm of a good many of the archival materials, fitting in with notes that I had taken. I might state in advance here that I still have that, which is a beautiful, will make a good advanced degree thesis for some student, because it has never been done yet. with regard to the governors of Louisiana. It has been done in the overall with viceroys, but I did not hold that. I'm interested in Spain and the Mississippi Valley in the main. That was a major one, although I filled in a number of other documentations. I also tried, and that was my major purpose in both Madrid and Seville, was to complete my documentary collection of the Spanish frontier, the northeastern frontier of New Spain, and trying to push the Spaniards as far to the northeast as I possibly could, filling in for what I wanted to make the last volume in the colonial period of Spain in the Mississippi Valley. This, I collected a great many documents on that. Incidentally, it was in connection with this that I discovered another diary of Pedro Vial, which I later published. Coming back to San Diego, in 1968 was one of my biggest publication years, as I've already explained to you. But I had received an invitation to deliver the Fleming Lectures at Louisiana State University. And I prepared to give a summary of some of the work that I had done on in Spain in the Mississippi Valley. I could not give all, and hence I chose two or three sections or chapters on which I had already published books, and two others on which I had not yet done so. It also just happened to have occurred that when I delivered the lectures at Baton Rouge, that's Louisiana State University, I was also invited to the conference on Spain in the Mississippi Valley, held under the auspices of organized by my good friend John Francis McDermott of the University of Illinois at Edwardsville, just across the river from St. Louis, for our conference took place not only on the campus of the university, but also mainly in the hotel which we occupied across the river back into St. Louis. At that, as my contribution to that conference, I made use of the new diary that I had found of Pedro Vial, surrounded it with a number of other things which I had found in Madrid on my last trip, and this was published in the book edited by McDermott called Spain and the Mississippi Valley. In it, as the 1970s began, the question of my age was raised again by the state, and we never could agree on it. As I think I mentioned to you long ago, there is a discrepancy between
one year.
Whether I was born in 1903 or 1904. I've always taken the step except with one exception of the 1904 date. But the state insisted, as I've already stated, on the 1903 date. However, under that situation, the law was changed about retirement. I had come in, and I believe I mentioned this before, but I'm not sure, that when I came here, the retirement age was 70. I'd always wanted to go to 1970, and thank the good Lord I was able to get near them. But through the actions of some of the, most of the UPC faculty and others in the state, they changed the law to 67. And in a very peculiar way, in this particular law, they set forth the exact intervening dates. And I happen to have been caught right between 67 and 70, and hence I was declared that I had to get out at the age of that, unless the department would put me on a one-year thing.
So there was no provision for the faculty who came in and assumed they would teach till 70. There's no such thing?
None whatsoever. I might, however, tell you that immediately when they saw what's happening to the new faculty that came in the 60s, these trade unionist faculty, they changed the law back, and it's back now to 70 with provisions for even extending it. And where the department thing exactly what I wanted. But the department turned me down, and I was somewhat peeved at that, because I wanted and had always set my objective of wanting to teach 50 years after receiving my PhD, which would be in 1976. It was on account of this that I went over to the University of San Diego and was a lecturer there for three out of the four, until 1976, which at least gave me. I also think I told you that the administration, President Bridge Golding and Vice President, he became the acting president.
I don't know any of those guys.
Yes, you will. Right here, the one just before Day became a president in here. He was the vice president. They did not want me to leave the campus, yet they did not want to overstep the divided vote in my department. Therefore, they called in the administrative central, and they created a new job for me called a research professor of history, and gave me a stipend for two more years, and put down in writing that I was to have my office intact, for they knew that I needed my reference materials in my office and the library, for which I was ever thankful to them during that time. Now, the Fleming lectures have been in the past all dealing mainly with Louisiana. I was one of the first ones to deal with the colonial situation, and somewhat much broader than the state of Louisiana. However, and the Louisiana State University Press publishes those lectures. Oh. However, in the published form, which of course is much longer than the actual three lectures that I gave in person into there, I figured that this was the chance to create another objective of mine. namely here as the culmination of a half a century of teaching and a little bit more of research, that I could summarize my work. And it was, and the lectures I gave for the Fleming series are summaries of the work that I had done, some of it. So I simply rounded it out by creating several chapters, each chapter representing a book of mine or a project, all of which had been published in part or whole before. And I added a chapter in order to round out the picture, which had to do with work that was done by others and I had never done. It was this work which the University of New Mexico published in 1976 on my advice, semi-centennial, whatever they call a half a century of work in there, called Retreat to the Borderlands, which received the prize of the Westerners International in that same year. And I have been quite proud of that memory or memoir of my work. When I got through teaching, which I finally retired from the teaching angle in 1976, I had to figure out a program of what to do.
What was the hardest adjustment? Was it the new pacing yourself without having school?
No, the hardest I think was the loss of directing some students in their work. Mm. Not the lecturing, that didn't bother me too much. But I always like to have some students around. There are only two exceptions to my program after my retirement that differed from my before. One is I do not do any work at night. And the other is that I not worried. I work at my own tempo. And I'm not bothered whether I have to, I have to be on the campus at 5 minutes to 8 or 5 minutes after 8. Those are the two things. So that I work. I've been working harder since I retired than I ever did, and I was quite a hard worker while I was in harness. But the difference is great, because I do it at my own tempo, which is good. The only thing bad about it is that I always told my students, and at one time offered a bet of 100-1 or 1,000-1, that there was one thing I would never do. And that is be a habitué of the TV, except as I am now for news events, but I'm talking about, yeah, since I gave up night work. By work, I mean no hard reading. I do read light reading, newspaper, periodicals, but I also sit at the TV as well now, and I'm afraid I would have lost my bet if I was still under the conditions of it. No, but when I decided what I was going to do, there were two things that I had in mind. One is that I wanted to complete the last volume, which had to deal with the northeastern frontier of New Spain after 1803. That's the last one, or the last chapter in the book on the Retreat of the Borderlands. And I would call that enough work in my chosen field of Spain and the Mississippi Valley, and devote the rest of my time to my projects on California, which had been my hobby, and would keep me more to the stick. That was my original plan. There have been a couple of slight changes, but only slight changes in that sense, and both of which I believe I've mentioned before. One is that the two unpublished works or chapters, the big work on the Osages, is now coming out in a different form, but it's coming out as I explained before. And the other is the only chapter that I have written, which is on the Upper Mississippi, which Lawtonville was supposed to, but I'm afraid we're not done. I wanted to have that done by somebody and completed its work. And I wanted to get somebody to complete that last chapter, of which I collected all the materials, all the articles. That I have not succeeded in doing. But I have turned to my work on the foreigners in California and the earth. And that will keep me busy. Probably, and I only hope that I'm able to finish at least part of it. And what it's doing right now is a peculiar thing. The status of my hobby is as follows, right at the present moment. The French in California, I have translated, edited, the continuation of my volume that was published by Stanford many years ago, bringing that up to 1870. But somehow or another, I've never written the story part of it. And I always thought someday I would get some student to begin to look around, and then together we would publish the second volume. That I have not done, nor have I returned to it yet. Someday I hope maybe I will do it, because the basic work has already been done. The major project that I have and have been dabbling in off and on before I retired, but now the major portion of my time now that's available is on the biggest project of all, and that's the calendar of the British Archives on California materials. As I've stated a long time, many times before, this has been in my mind for quite some time. I took a little stab at it when I had my first journey abroad, when I had the French activities of mine, and I just wanted to get the British reaction to that, and I had spent some time in the British Public Record Office, but on materials relating to California, of the French in California. Then several other times since then, I've spent summers gathering the materials and going through most of the materials in the Public Record Office. Very fortunately, a good swipe of the materials, and the thing that made it possible here, finally in the long run, was that the Library of Congress had a good many of one series, one of the major series, the Public Record Office, and the Bancroft Library at Berkeley had complete microfilms of three other series, including some relating to California, in addition to those in the regular series. Their purpose there was to collect all of the materials in the British Foreign Office, at least, on Latin American countries, which was their objective in the main. And they have also sent me to collect materials on some parts of California, but not my work of it. It's a broader proposition.
What dates are you trying to do to keep within for the British work?
Oh, all of them. We quit it early, and we will quit the British at 1860 as the latest date.
1860?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's been established for a long time. And the same thing is true with my Chileans, as I'll come to tell you again.
Okay.
About it. Now, I've made many trips to Berkeley, of course, every summer, and worked on lots of the microfilm there. I've spent several summers in Washington on this thing, and I've spent two more times in England on it. And I wanted to get an associate with me to help me out, because this is a lot of mechanical as well as intellectual work. And one of my former students who had worked with me on the early French consuls, and Gary Monel of Mesa College, is my associate in this. And this is a joint authorship deal. In the course of my working, we found out from other scholars in the field, in tangential fields such as the British Navy and so on, that the materials of all the papers of the Admiral Seymour, S-E-Y-M-O-U-R, and Admiral Hornby, those are the two major ones during the 1840s, which were the crucial years of the Mexican War, the conquest of California, and the gold rush, were in private hand, were in other than in the public record office. And we had microfilm, we microfilmed the materials relating to California in those. One is in the County Museum at just was working with it, just outside there, just before I came into there, which I have permission to use, and I've gone through it. And the other is in the Maritime Museum at Greenwich, England. I have never been to Greenwich, but I have had the entire work microfilm and have permission to publish it. These have gone into it. It's for that reason that we call it the calendar of California materials in the British Archives. There was, and there is, one, I suppose, lacuna or thing, and that would be, of course, to go through the Admiralty. But the Admiralty would mean going through thousands upon thousands of volumes for a very small needle in the haystack. And because during most of the important part of our period of the British in California, the Foreign Office and the Admiralty were working together. We have most of the things from the Admiralty, plus all of the Admiral. Those are the two Admirals in it. And so we have given, and we've taken other people's studies who have used certain, and used their numbers, and so wherever possible, we have given indications of what is also in the Admiralty. But that is a small thing.
Do you have a projected completion date, or you just...
Well, now that's the next one. We have been on this working now for over 5 years, doing the slavery work, and proofreading everything and typing everything ourselves. But last year, Mr. Monel decided that we must put it on the word processor, which is by far the best thing. And he is now in the process of doing it, which has delayed our completion date for quite some time into it. that's what we're working on. That's what you saw me out there proofing that. It's a wonderful process. And because one who does not know, not trained in it, can lose more than they gain, which happened the first and only time I looked at it, when I blotted out instead of taking in something.
Oh, no.
But I have...